today on It's Time.
This is a weird verse. When I read the Bible and there's a verse that is kind of in there and it doesn't really have any reason to be in there.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
When we're obedient to what God tells us to do, we get our next set of marching orders. That ain't Mike. I want the whole plan now. Okay, I'm going to do this, then 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 I'm going to do this. Are anybody else like that here or just me? I want the whole enchilada, you know? This thing about God telling me one step at a time, I don't like that. Because I like to know where everything's going. But why doesn't God do that? I'm glad you asked. Because it requires faith in Him. I can follow a plan. I find sometimes it's hard to follow God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God says, if I gave you the whole list, Mike, of what I was going to do in your life, you wouldn't believe it anyway. And second of all, if I was to give you the whole plan for your life, you would say it's too much. So God calls us His children. I like that about children. Have you ever noticed? Anybody here got your kids? They have the intention, attention span theater is what they have. You can tell them something and in 2 seconds they will forget. I'm like that too with God sometimes. So God says, this is the plan. Go to Bethel. Okay. He gets to Bethel and then what happens? God speaks to him. Again, see a pattern here? Maybe a pattern in our own life? That we, okay, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. And when I get there, by faith, you tell me the next step. See, otherwise, I can leave God out of my life, even as a Christian. I got all the steps, God, right here. Plan one, plan two, plan three, plan four, plan five. Okay, see ya. When I get down here to the bottom someplace, I'll give you a call. God goes, no. No, I want you to talk to me every day. Do you know why God wants to talk to you? Because He loves you. Do you know I have found when you love somebody, you can't wait to talk to them again. You ever notice that? Got your sweetie on the phone. Oh, honey, I love you. I don't want to hang up, but I will because I have to because the battery's going dead. But I'll go put it on the charger and then I'll call you right back. See, that's what love does. Love wants to be with the one you love. And God says, if the only way I can get you to come and sit down in my lap, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Bible says, I will give you one step at a time, so you'll have to come to me, sit in my lap, put your arm around my neck and say, Daddy, what do you want me to do next? That's love, friends. That's what God wants. God does not want a mechanical relationship with us. Got that check, got that check, got that check. Okay, I'm cool, you're cool, cuckoo-ca-choo. No, God doesn't do that. What God says is, I want you to come to me every day, the author and finisher of our faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And God gives us that. And again, because he loves us. And when you love somebody, you want to be with them. You want to talk to them. You can't talk to them enough. God says, turn your heart inside out and let me see it. And I'll heal your wounds. Friends, that's what we need. So he goes on and he says, God appeared to him again and came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, you're Jacob, heel catcher is your name, but you shall not become called heel catcher anymore, but your name shall be Israel, chosen, led by God. Wow. God changes our nature, changes who we are. We need that. I can't change on my own. You can spend every dime in the world on psychiatrists and counselors and everything. But really, honestly, it's only God that changes us. Because it's only God that can honestly confront us with who we are, where we say, yes, God, I see the need to change. You can have 1,000 people saying, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change. And they'll go, But when God confronts us, there's a difference. There's a change. Because this is coming from somebody not making $100 an hour. But this is actually coming from somebody that says, I love you, period. Friends, that's what the world's looking for. They're looking for answers. You think there's any answers in the newspaper? You think there's any answers in the political world? Nah. You think there's any answers anywhere outside of God? Friends, I'll tell you. Only God can truly love us because he only truly knows us. So it says, God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, multiply, a nation and a company of nations will proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. By the way, friends, the same can be said for every one of you, that through what Jesus Christ has done in your life, through you, through your ministry, through God leaving you here on this earth, that you didn't get raptured when you got saved, but because you're here, through you, many people will come into the kingdom of God. Remember, that's why we're here. We're saved to serve. And he says, the land which I gave Abraham, Isaac, I give to you. And for your descendants after you, I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone. He poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke to him, Bethel. Wow. Now, isn't it weird? Evidently, God must have appeared to him in some kind of a physical form, because it says, and then God went up from him. And they journeyed from Bethel. And when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel travailed in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now, it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, do you not fear? You will have this, don't fear, you will have this son also. And it was so as her soul was departing, for she died in her childbirth, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. She called him son of sorrow. That's what she called him. But Jacob changed his name just as God changed his. From son of sorrow to son of my right hand. That's what Benjamin means, son of my right hand. You know, I think there's a lot of truth here. To not know people the way they were, but to know the way people God sees them. You know, God, the Bible says, has given us all a brand new name. I don't know what mine is, but I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to get it. Some of you like your name, some of you don't. Have you ever been around somebody that changes their name? That's weird. Now, if you did that, I'm not dissing on you. I don't know. No one come up and said, hey, Mike, talk about this morning. No, I didn't do that. But I remember there was somebody I knew, and for years, they had a name, Sandy. And then one day they come up and said, I changed my name. I'm now Sonny. but I don't know you as Sonny. I know you as Sonny. So you keep calling them the old name, and they get more and more indignant because you don't call them by their new name they made up. But you know, God gave you and me a new name in heaven. God gave Jacob a new name, not heel catcher anymore, led chosen by God. You're not no longer going to be called son of sorrow. You're going to be called son of my right hand. It's funny what we learned from our father. And so it says, Rachel died and was buried on the way to Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which pillar of Rachel's grave is still there to this day. Now that means to the day of this writing, Moses wrote this, so we have a little history lesson in here. Then Israel journeyed and pitched tent beyond the Tower of Elder. And it happened when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and laid with Bildad, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. And the sons of Jacob were 12, and the sons of Levi were. Now, before we go into these names, I want to look at something here. This is a weird verse. Does this appear to be weird to anybody here? When I read the Bible and there's a verse that is kind of in there and it doesn't really have any reason to be in there. Let's review. So it happened, verse 22 again, when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and laid with Bildad, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. He defiled his father's concubine. And you say, Mike, that is weird. Why is that there? And all of Israel heard about it. It's interesting. The Bible doesn't say that anybody did anything about it. It just says he did it. And if you study the Bible, it's a defilement. Now, here's what's weird. Let's review. Reuben was the firstborn, okay? Simeon and Levi, 2 and 3. In order. The fourth one that was born was Judah. Most people believe, and I am one, that the reason why Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah is because Simeon, Levi, and Reuben disqualified themselves from being in that position, and it went to position number 4, Judah. I believe this is why Jesus is the tribe of Judah. Not naturally Reuben, the firstborn, because he, as the oldest brother, defiled his father's woman. Pretty serious stuff. And so it lists all these sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bildad, Rachel's maidservants, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's manservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kirjath Arba, that is, Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac, his father, were 180 years. And so Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. It's interesting that these two that were once enemies of each other came together, buried the hatchet, and buried their father. And so we find here some interesting pictures here. And I think one of the most and the key one about all of this is remembrance. You know, the Bible oftentimes says, remember the hole from which you were pulled and the pit from which you were dug. I think sometimes we forget that, even as Christians. I think we think, well, look what I did. You know, it's God's grace. And I want to remind you all again, look for God's fingerprints in your life. It shows that you have been handled by the King of Kings. I like that. And if you don't see those fingerprints, if you don't see the angels stirring the water, move away. Remembrance in the Bible is not a bad thing. Now, sometimes Jesus' shortest sermon in the Bible, he looked at the disciples in the book of Luke and said, remember Lot's wife. And this was when God was going to destroy Sodom. And he said, when you leave, don't look back. I suppose it was probably a very loud sound as the fire and brimstone came down. Maybe the people screaming. And she turned around and she was turned to a pillar of salt. But there's another remembrance in the Bible that talks about remembering your first love. It talks about remembering in the book of Revelation. He said, the things you once did out of love, now you're doing out of duty. Remember from whence you have fallen. So remembering is not a bad thing, friends. Remembering can tell you all the things, all those near scrapes that God got you through, and you're still here, and you got a smile on your face, and you say, well, maybe everything ain't perfect in my life, but I got a God in heaven who reigns supreme, and I remember. Remember God's goodness in your life. Remember, think back on the things that could have gone really wrong and how you could have been really hurt. God's remembrance. You see, if you're not a Christian, maybe all you have in your memories is tears. Because you have no one there that will go and fix the problem. You don't have a daddy who you can crawl up to and say, Lord, okay, what are we going to do today? Keeps it exciting, by the way. You don't have anyone. So you're going around trying to find meaningful purpose of life by talking to your friends, reading What's Gucci, talking to psychic hotlines. And God says to you, just come to me, all your labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what your soul needs, man. Do you know that when your soul's at rest, you make good decisions in your life? And when your life is in turmoil, we respond out of fear. And I can tell you one thing that I know in my life for sure. Every decision that I can think of in my life I made out of fear was the wrong one. God has not given you or me the spirit of fear, but a boldness and a sound mind. That's what you need. This morning, if you don't have that, I want to invite you to come to Jesus. He says, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, he wants you in his lap. See, this is what's so weird about the cults. Cults always keep you guessing. You got to get out there and do a bunch of religious stuff. Wear orange. Sell flowers in airports. Eat organically grown food. You might make it. Really? Religion says, go feel your beads. Say so many Hail Marys. Religion says, get sealed in the temple. Jesus says, come and sit in my lap. Oh, friends, that's not religion. That's relationship. That's not some obscure, far-off, unknowable God. That's where God says, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to carry you. Do you need to be carried today? I do. In fact, the longer I live my life, the more I realize I need to be carried every day. And if you're just laying there bloody and beaten, I just want to tell you there's somebody that'll pick you up, but you got to ask him. He's willing. He's standing right there. Will you say, pick me up? And bandage me up? He will. That's what the whole story about the Good Samaritan was about. The Samaritan was Jesus. He's the one that picked the man up, put him on his own beast, and took him and took care of him. I need that. You need that. And you might say, Mike, I had a great week. No problems. I'm cruising. I'm doing good. Tinted glass Airco. I'm doing good. And God says, Yeah, but next week you're going to have some issues. A lot of bad people out there. We live in a fallen world. But I'm going to be there for you. If you're not a Christian, we're going to pray. And you can ask Jesus to come in your life. If you've never done this, I invite you to do so. God will take you at your word and change your life. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I am sorry for the way that I've lived my life. I left you out of it. So from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. To make me the best I can be for you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and his blood covered my sins. So give me a new name this morning. Heal my past. Heal me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to love you more and to love a lost world that doesn't know you. And thank you for eternal life. I spend eternity with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that. Welcome to God's family. Starts with a prayer. God will show you your whole life, his goodness. Got a good God. Friends, it ain't religion. It's not mechanical. It's not a list, checklist. It's where we go daily to our Father. Jesus said, when you pray, you pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. That means you had to go daily to go to God and say, because God digs talking to you, man. He wants to just visit with you. Sometimes I'm really a chatterbox to God. I tell him all the things that are on my heart, the things that are wrong. You know, every once in a while, God, as I'm chattering away to God, God will just reach his big old hand down and touch my lips. And then God begins to tell you how much he loves you. And this stuff doesn't matter. What matters is his love for you. We're all going to have those things. And you know, I do feel better when I tell God about the things in my heart. But you know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes when God does this and says, Mike, it's okay. And then God in his love, he just pours his love on us. And it just fixes everything. I just want to encourage you this morning, let God be the one that fixes your heart. That stirring of the water, friends, is every day in your life. Let God bless you and heal you and restore you.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.